you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we want to read just verses 1 through 3 of 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and reading at verse 1. This section continues from verse 22 of chapter 1. And Peter says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let us pray together. O gracious God, merciful God, be pleased by the Spirit to take this Word, put it in our hearts, in our minds. Grant that we may be satisfied with Your Word this day. Feed us. We thank You, Father, for Christ Jesus our Lord, risen from the dead. We thank You for His love for us. He gave Himself for us. May we see Christ in all that is said and done. And to God alone be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have seen that the results of our sanctification occur in two ways in this portion of God's Word. Firstly, the first result occurs in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And in that section, the Apostle Peter has told us that the fruit or the result that is connected to God's Word is that we are to love one another. That's the first fruit, the first result of sanctification. The second fruit or the second result of sanctification is right here in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And in these verses, the Apostle Peter is going to tell us that we must grow up. We're to long for the pure milk of the Word. And the result of that is growth spiritually. So we see that we are to love one another and we are to grow in our salvation. This is the result of being sanctified. In the previous verses in chapter 1, from verse 13 through verse 21, the Apostle Peter has told us how to be sanctified. Now that we know how to be sanctified, what are the fruits of this sanctification? Number one, we should love one another. And number two, we must grow in our salvation. So when we come to this passage, we want to consider spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth and how does it happen? We know, for instance, that spiritual growth does not just happen by itself. It's not possible for that to occur. For instance, if I have a plant or a seed that I want to plant and I want it to grow, I must water it and perhaps I must give it some special food, whatever it is. It needs something to produce the growth. It is the same for the Christian. In order for us to spiritually grow, we need something. And we find here that what we need is pure spiritual milk. So this is a passage about spiritual growth. This is a passage that should be of relevance to every Christian because every Christian must grow. No growth means a problem. And we find that we are able to take the Word, and when we drink in the Word and eat the Word, saturate ourselves with the Word, it produces something. It changes us. We grow up, as Peter says, in our salvation. So, when we look at this passage, what are the actions connected with the passage? For instance, there is a negative action, isn't there, in verse 1? Put away all these sins that the apostle mentions in verse 1. Put it away. That's the negative action. What is the positive action? In verse 2, the positive action is long for the pure spiritual milk. So put away something and long for the word. Now it's clear from chapter 1 and verse 25, right at the end of the verse 25, that the Christian has received good news. More than that, the Christian has believed good news. This is the good news, this word, verse 25, is the good news that was preached to you. So when we look at verse 1, we see that there is an intended action in light of the fact that we have received good news. Because you have believed, because you have received good news, what should happen in your life? Now, something results then from receiving this good news. Something must result from believing this good news. Something results from the new birth. Something happens. Something occurs. What is that result? The result, of course, is sanctification. That's what happens when you take the word. That's what happens when you believe the word. That's what happens when you receive the word. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You are sanctified. That's the resultant action of believing in the Lord Jesus. So now that we have become Christians, if indeed we are Christians, what must we do? Well, look at verse 1. Verse 1 tells us, put away these sins. Now that you've become a Christian, you must put these sins away from you. That's an intended action. There's intention. So, put away these sins, Peter says. We will notice also in verses 1 and 2 that there are three actions here. The first one is that we said, put away these sins. Number 2, long for pure spiritual milk. And number 3, grow up in your salvation. So I find here, when I look at this passage, that here are three actions that are required of me if I am a Christian. I am to put away these sins that Peter mentions. And number 2, I'm to long for the pure spiritual milk. And number 3, I'm to grow up in my salvation. Now, Peter's main idea in this passage is to grow up in your salvation. That's his big picture. That's his idea. What does he want to result? Your growth, my growth, spiritual growth. Now, let me just deal with this easily in a nutshell for us to understand. The way for us to grow spiritually, here's number 1. And we find it in verse 1. The way to grow spiritually is, number 1, to deal decisively with sin. Not half-heartedly, not partially, but completely. Deal decisively with sin. That's number 1. Put away these sins. Number 2, the way to spiritual growth is to drink deeply from the Word. Verse 2. Long for the pure spiritual milk. So I find here, if I want to grow as a Christian, then I have to do two things. I've got to deal with my sin, and I've got to deal decisively with my sin. And number 2, I've got to long for the milk of the Word, for the Word of God itself. Now, verse 1, when you look at verse 1, it is also a consequence, isn't it, of feeding on the Word. If you feed on the Word, you will put away sin. If you saturate yourself with the Bible, with the Word of God, and are obedient to it, you will put away sin. So there's a connection. Peter puts this together for us. So the more you immerse yourself in the Bible, the more you immerse yourself in God's Word, the more you saturate your life with the Scriptures, with God's Word, the result will be that you will put away sinful habits, sinful practices, and sin. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to crucify, mortify the flesh. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. We've done something. Something has happened. So what does Peter say then specifically that will help you and me this morning to grow in our salvation? Let me say first of all that every person who's a Christian is going to grow and ought to grow as a Christian. It's not possible to possess spiritual life and there to be no result. It's not possible. It will happen. Here's how Peter tells us how it can happen. He tells us what will help us to grow up in our salvation. Number 1, he talks about our attitude, doesn't he? Look at verse 2. Like newborn babes or infants. Our attitude. Number two, he talks about our appetite, doesn't he? Verse 2, long for the pure spiritual milk. Now contrast that word, by the way, long for, with the negative in verse 1 of putting away. So I put away and I long for the word. If I long for the word, I will put away. The verse 1 is the negative, verse 2 is the positive. So my attitude, like a newborn babe, my appetite, long for the pure spiritual milk. And then thirdly, he talks about our aim, doesn't he? That if you have the right appetite, the right attitude and the right appetite, your aim will be, Peter says, that by it, by the milk, by the pure spiritual milk, you may grow up. So where is he going? He's going to the goal of growth spiritually. So spiritual growth is connected with your attitude. Spiritual growth is connected with your appetite. Your attitude to the Word and your appetite for the Word. That's what Peter wants us to put in our minds. So what kind of attitude must we have? Look what he says, verse 2. Like newborn infants. Newborn infants are totally dependent, are they not, on their moms, their mothers. No disrespect intended to dads this morning. Little babies are completely dependent upon their mothers. There is an intimate connection, an intimate bond between a mother and her child, a mother and her baby. They are dependent, are they not, for care and for life. They are helpless. They are newborn babes. We have some of them here this morning. Newborn babes, helpless. They demand care. They demand attention. More than this, babies are responsive and babies are receptive. Not only are they helpless, but if you give them something, they will respond and they will receive. They respond to affection. They respond to love. They receive, they ought to receive, love and affection from their moms and their dads. So babies need these things to live. Now, when I come to God's Word, Peter says, my attitude must be like that. I'm helpless. I need help with God's Word. That's why I have the Spirit. And growing spiritually is not just going to happen automatically in your life and my life. You need the Word to grow. Now, if I refuse to respond to God, and if I refuse to receive anything from God, I will be cold. I will be barren. I will be useless and ineffective in my life. God constantly warns us, doesn't he, to check our attitude towards him and his word. In fact, I'd like to show you that from the scriptures. If you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And keep that newborn babe. Is that a newborn babe crying in the back? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verses 6 through 11. Now these things, he's talking about the wilderness wanderings of Israel. He says, these things took place, this is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6, took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now notice verse 11. Now these things, all these things that happened in the wilderness, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. Notice that. Written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. We don't want to be like Israel in the wilderness. When God spoke to them, they rebelled against God. They hardened their hearts. They refused to hear. They did not listen. We don't want to be like that. No, we want to hear the word. We want to receive the word. We want to respond to the word. We want to believe the word. We want to come to the word and be fed and so on. So I find then that I must be willing to hear what God says. I must be willing to listen to God. And more than that, I find that I must be willing to do what God says. You see, it's easy to listen. It's another thing to do. It's one thing to receive. It's another thing to respond. And truly, what you want is to receive, and the response is going to be growth, ultimately, in this passage. Now, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 78:1, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." So we are to bend our ears, if I can put it like that, to God's word. We are to hear what God says. So I find then that my attitude must be dependent, like a newborn babe. My attitude must be responsive, and my attitude must be receptive to the pure spiritual milk. That brings me to number two. Like newborn babes, that's my attitude. What do? They are hungry. They have an appetite. So Peter now speaks about not only our attitude to the word, but our appetite for the word. Look what he says. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Epipotheo, that's the word, long for. An intense craving, a deep desire, a hunger that needs to be satisfied, a longing that is intense. Now ask yourself, do you have that kind of craving for the word? Do you have that kind of intense longing for the Word of God? This desire that Peter is talking about, this longing, long for the pure spiritual milk of the world, this is a deep desire. This is an intense desire. This is a powerful desire, because I know that I'm lacking something. Let me take you through, if I can, as a father, looking at a mother's experience. The appetite of an infant. Imagine that I'm fast asleep. In fact, wonderfully asleep. Gloriously asleep. Deeply asleep. When the piercing scream shatters the darkness, and I come out of the depths of wherever I have been, it is my son Calvin. Screaming. For something, for food, isn't it? He is demanding food. And he's not saying, "Dad or Mom, I'd like it in half an hour. I want it now, now, now." And unless you do something, the screaming continues. So, Chris would get up. And she did. She'd walk around in a daze, go to that fridge, look for the bottle, take it out, put it in the microwave, whatever it is, hot water, warm it up, walk around in the darkness looking for the shrieking form, plug it in. Oh, dear congregation, what silence. What quietness. Wonderful quiet, peace, just a deep drinking of the bottle. Isn't that right? Deep silence for me, because I can go back to sleep. Just a greedy sucking. Absolute contentment. Utter contentment. Unless you satisfy that longing of that infant, unless you satisfy that craving, you will have a restless baby and a restless night. Dear congregation, that infant cannot stop that desire. It has it. Belongs to it. Belongs to it because it's an infant. It needs milk. It must be fed. It must drink. Must partake. You cannot stop that desire until it is satisfied with the milk that you give it. Peter says, listen, that same kind of craving is what you must have for God's Word. Do you wake up every day starving for God's Word? Something is demanding that you feed yourself on the Word of God. The hunger is insatiable, the craving is powerful and intense, and unless you read and study, you will not make it through the day. Is that what you have? Notice what Peter says, like newborn babes long for that pure spiritual milk. So ask yourselves the question, what kind of appetite do you have for God's Word? I know that a Christian is only satisfied with God's Word. You give him books to read, they're okay, they're good, but only the Bible, only God's Word satisfies. And we are bombarded in our society, in our country, in our culture by all kinds of advice. Comes at us from different areas, different ways. We're told this, we're told that. You should do this, you should do that. And instead of going to God's Word, we watch television or we listen to something else. When that baby is hungry, just holding that baby will not do it. It's just not enough. Lavish all the care and all the attention you like on that infant. If that infant is hungry and that's all you give it, just comfort and holding, no food, you know what will be the result. It demands food, demands to be fed. Now, dear congregation, when you are hungry spiritually, where do you go? We need God's Word, don't we? We are desperate for God's Word in our time. It's almost as if there's a famine in the land, the prophets tell us. A famine of hearing the Word. A famine of obeying the Word. You can't obey the Word unless you know the Word. You can't receive the Word unless you are giving yourself to the Word. And what Peter wants to know this morning, how hungry are you? How hungry am I? What is your appetite? In fact, here's a good test of your spiritual condition right now, right this morning. How hungry are you now for God's Word? What kind of food satisfies an infant? Good milk, right? Pure milk. What kind of food satisfies the believer? Pure spiritual milk, Peter says. Now we know, don't we, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that the Apostle Paul contrasts the milk of the Word with the meat of the Word. Peter is not doing that here. He's not contrasting milk versus meat. He's not looking at it and saying that I'm comparing the milk of the Word with the meat of the Word. Peter's not doing that. If you read the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 5, 12 and 13, for though by this time, Peter, the writer says, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, he says, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Peter's not referring to the quality or the kind of food. He's not referring to milk versus meat. It's not what he's doing here. No, Peter is referring to your appetite. That's what he's referring to. Like newborn babes long for the pure spiritual milk. And he's saying the kind of appetite you must have to the Word is like that of a newborn baby. So it's your attitude and your appetite and my appetite that is here in Peter's mind. And what will satisfy your appetite, he says, pure spiritual milk. Now our attitudes were to be dependent and responsive and receptive. But our appetites are to be instinctive and incessant and eagerly, with eagerness. So as I come to the Word like a newborn babe, I'm dependent upon the Word. I need to respond to the Word. I need to receive the Word. But my appetite is to be an instinctive appetite. Because you are a Christian, you ought naturally, if I can use that word, instinctively long for the Word. A Christian longs for the Word. It's part of their new nature. There's an instinct connected with it. And more than that, that word longing, to have an intense desire, it's an incessant desire. It doesn't stop. And more than that, when I come to the Word, I must come with eagerness. You know, little children, little babies, eventually get the idea, if you're slow in giving the bottle or whatever it is, give it to me. They reach out. I want it. They know. They know. There's an eagerness. That's how we must be. Now, I think Peter uses the word spiritual. You notice what he says, pure spiritual milk. I think he uses that word spiritual to refer to the qualitative approach that we must have for the Word. The word spiritual does not mean milk of the Word. Now, some translations, King James, New American Standard, talk about the milk of the Word. The milk that is spoken here does not mean that. It's not, the Greek word doesn't lead us to milk of the Word. It's just the word milk, spiritual milk. And that word spiritual is about quality. That's why I think Peter's concerned about your approach to the Word. Attitude, appetite. You're approaching to the Word, and what is that Word? It's pure milk. What kind of approach must you have? A spiritual approach. The quality in Peter's mind about this pure milk is that it is spiritual, pure milk. He's not talking about fleshly things. He's talking about spiritual things. And the Word is pure milk. It's spiritually pure milk. Now, I don't have to tell you, we must never treat God's Word flippantly, casually. Yet how often we do that, don't we? We don't read it. Is that not treating God's Word casually? I think it is. I'm guilty of that. And when we read God's Word, maybe we don't read God's Word the way we ought to read God's Word, with concern and reverence. God is speaking to me. It's not just I have to get through my Bible reading. No. I want to hear God's Word. I want to hear His voice. It's all wrapped up in attitude and appetite, isn't it? So, God's Word is pure. That's the opposite word, by the way, with the alpha prefix or the alpha negative, comparing verse 1, the word deceit. This word is not deceitful. This word is pure. This Word of God is pure, pure Word. Oh, dear congregation, you do not want dirty food. You do not want defiled food. I know in countries in the world, people actually eat defiled food because that's all they have. You don't want that. You can be very thankful from a physical point of view that you eat clean, good, healthy food, or you ought to. But you have that ability. You can eat that kind of food. You don't want defiled food. You don't want dirty food. Who would want it? I want the pure spiritual Word, the milk. That's what we want. You know, drinking milk directly from the cow contains impurities. Unless your system is used to drinking that milk straight from the cow, you're going to struggle with it. I remember as a teenager going to a farm of a friend, and we had cow's milk every day, big jug, fresh from the cow, that morning, right on the table. Well, I drank some of that milk. I was violently sick. So violently sick, I had to go home, cut my trip short. We want pure milk. We need, in our attitude and in our appetites to the Word, to condition ourselves to receiving, to responding. How will you do that? Read the Word. Study the Word. Memorize the Word. Feed yourself on God's Word. God's Word is spotless. There's no contamination in God's Word. God's Word is undefiled, There's no defilement in God's word. We can trust His word. We can believe His word. Why? Because God said it, and God is pure, and God is spotless, and God is holy. And if God is like that, His word is representative of who He is. His word is a reflection of who He is. His word comes from Him. How easy it is to say, I believe God, and somehow neglect the word. Shouldn't do that. If we believe God, we believe His word, we receive His word. So God's word is like this. We don't want, I should say this, we want pure doctrine. Don't want defiled doctrine. We want good, solid doctrine. In fact, I want apostolic teaching. That's what I want. That's what the early church built itself on. The teaching of the apostles. The doctrine of the apostles. They fellowshipped together. They broke bread together. And they prayed together. That's what a church does. But number one, they gave themselves to apostolic teaching. That's what we want. We do not want error mixed with truth. Who would want that? Psalm 34, verses 1 and verse 8, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. By the way, when Peter gives us verse 3 right here in chapter 2, in his mind is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34. How do I know that? In chapter 3 and verse 10 onwards, he quotes directly from Psalm 34. So as he's writing, in his mind is Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why he says, verse 3, if you have indeed tasted that the Lord is good. So what happens if my attitude is right? Dependent, receptive, responsive. What happens if my attitude, my appetite, I should say, is incessant, instinctive, eager? What happens if I've got the right attitude and the right appetite? Well, you're going to go somewhere. That's your aim, right? That's what Peter says. What is our aim here? That by it, verse 2, you may grow up to salvation. So let us ask ourselves the question, what are you aiming at in your Christian life? You want experience. Too many people want experience. You want love. That's okay. You want friendship. You want fellowship. You want to be emotionally stable. All good things. That is not what Peter says our aim is. Our aim, he says, is to grow up in what? Salvation. Salvation. What are you aiming for in your Christian life? Surely there's one answer to that. To be conformed to the image of God's Son. To be like Jesus. Right? That's what our aim ought to be. To be like Christ. How will I ever be like Christ? If I don't have the right attitude and the right appetite for the word. If my goal and my aim is to grow spiritually, that means to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. How will I get there? I must take the word in. And I must do it in the right way. Like a newborn babe. Someone has said that the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. I think it was A.W. Tozer said, refuse to be average. Refuse to be average. Warren Wiersbe said, when we stop growing, we stop living, and we just start existing. J.C. Ryle said it best, I think. Sanctification, he says, is always a work of progress, so that by it you may grow up. It's a work of progress, isn't it? You haven't got it all when you come to Christ. You're only a babe in Christ. You must learn. You must read. You must study. You must pray. You must meditate. You must fellowship with the saints of God. That's where spiritual growth happens. And that's where sanctification happens and takes place. So what are you aiming at this morning? Now right here, dear congregation, is where verse 1 is of great benefit to us. Because verse 1, if I have the right attitude and the right appetite, that will help me overcome my sins. Now here are five common sins, aren't they? They all have to do, by the way, with personal relationships. One-on-one. All of these sins are about you and me. That's why these sins are connected directly to love one another in verses 22 through 25. Notice how Peter starts verse 1 of chapter 2. So, put away. Why so? So, because you are to love one another. If you love one another, you must put away these things. Loving one another means you deal with these sins. You put them away. Now look at these sins. Malice. Malice is the desire to hurt someone by words, by actions. It's a general word, by the way, for evil. Malice. Look what he says. Deceit. Crafty. Sly, cunning. Are we deceitful? He says hypocrisy. Notice that word hypocrisy. Play acting, wearing the mask. And look what he says. He says envy. You don't like what someone else has. You know, the Latin word, by the way, is invideo, or if we just say it in English, invideo. You get video recorders, video from it. It means to look against. I look against you. In a certain way. I'm envious. Jesus was delivered, was he not, up for crucifixion by envy. Notice slander, evil speaking, defamation of character. These are all between us, one on one. Personal sins. In order to love one another, we must put them away, is what Peter is saying. Now, notice, malice and deceit are in the singular, and hypocrisy and envy and slander are in the plural. So Peter is saying, you must put away all hypocrisies. You must put away all envies, if I can use that as a word. All slanders. And notice, he covers all bases, doesn't he? He uses that word all three times. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit. And hypocrisy and envy and all slander. It's as if he knows that we are given to malice and deceit and slander in particular. Peter says, here's the cure for spiritual growth. Put away these things. And by the way, that word for put away is the word that you would use to take off your clothes. At the end of the day, you take off your clothes and you put something else on. Why do you do that? The defiled need to be clean, need to be washed. I take them off. The way you take them off and put them from you, Peter says, put away those sins just like you change your clothes. Put them away. You're done with them. Take off your sins because you have obeyed God. You have obeyed His word. Lay aside your sins, he says, because you've received Christ and you have His life in you. Now, why should we do that? Verse 3. Why should we do that? Well, haven't you tasted that the Lord is good? Now here's the crunch, isn't it? Because if we are Christians, we will say, yes, the Lord is good. I've tasted that the Lord is good. Now, if that is true, then you will put away your sins. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, put away your sins. And long for the pure spiritual milk, he says. In other words, God's goodness, the Bible says, leads to what? Repentance. God's goodness leads to repentance. And notice, this salvation, verse 2, that by it you may grow up to salvation, is connected to if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So my salvation springs from the goodness of God, and I have tasted of that salvation, of that goodness of God. Now, why would I want to not love you? Not love one another? Hold on to my sins. Why would we want to do that if we have tasted that God is good? When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, initially, you tasted something that you had never tasted before. You tasted the goodness of God. More than that, now that we are in Christ, we are to keep on drinking pure spiritual milk. Keep on tasting. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And notice the warning from Peter. If, our dear congregation, you may be here this morning and be self-deceived, thinking that you are a Christian, thinking that you have tasted that the Lord is good and you have not. And the way to test that and to check that is, what is your attitude like and what is your appetite like? And what aim do you have in life? To be like Jesus? If you have tasted that the Lord is good, put away all these personal sins between us. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word. Why? So that we may grow up in our salvation. Salvation is not something that just happens when you came to Christ. Salvation is not just a one-time experience. No, salvation is all of our Christian life. From the moment we came to Christ until we get to glory and on to glory, salvation. And it begins with, have you tasted that the Lord is good? So I want to suggest to us this morning, there should be the right attitude to the Word and there should be the right appetite for the Word, and that leads to our aim to grow up in our spiritual experience. Ah, the Lord is good, isn't He? He has been merciful to you. You're here this morning. And if you are here this morning and are not sure that you are a Christian, God's goodness, you are here this morning, leads you to repentance. He's been gracious with us. And all Peter is saying to us in this passage is, number one, you must deal decisively with sin. Because if you do not deal decisively with sin, it will come back and haunt you over and over again. And here's the real crunch. In obedience, do you try to overcome your sins in your own power? Let me tell you, you cannot. And there are too many today who think that they can overcome their sins in their own power and their own strength. They say that because they have professed faith in Christ, therefore I must do this, and I'm able to do it. If you have not the Spirit of God, you will not be able to overcome your sins. You will not. In fact, you will love your sin. You will cherish your sin. It will be your natural course of life. So here's a serious word from Peter to us who say that we are Christians. In fact, all of Peter's letter is designed to approach those who profess to be believers. If you say you're a Christian, then this must follow. This must follow. If you say that you're a Christian. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So we must deal decisively with our sins, and we must drink. We must drink deeply, right? Let me ask you, do you know those little infants, when they drink that bottle, they're satisfied. And they can lay that bottle aside. Do you think you can lay God's Word aside? No. No, we can't do that. We must keep on drinking. We must keep on drinking. You can never be satisfied with God's Word. It's not enough of it. When I say that, I mean you will want to keep on drinking. Thomas Watson says, it is good to find out our sins, lest our sins find us out. So deal with them. That's what Peter says. Deal with them. Put them away. Be responsive to the Word. Be responsive to God. Be hungry for God. God sustains us, doesn't He, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God transforms us by His life-changing Word. So let's ask God today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, to transform each of us. Let's ask Him to help us put away these sins, and let us ask Him to feed on His Word with the help of His grace. We need to do that. Why? So that we can grow up in our salvation. My attitude: dependent, receptive, responsive, My appetite, instinctive, incessant, and with eagerness, and my aim, deal with my sins, hunger for the word, so that I may grow up in my salvation, so that I may become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have that attitude and that appetite and that aim this day. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, grant to each of us this morning an intense desire for Your Word, a craving for Your Word, because we love Your Word. We need more of Your Word. We can never get enough. Help us to go on tasting that You are good. Give us the right attitude, we pray, to Your Word. And give us the right appetite for Your Word. Help us to deal with our sins. Put them away from us. Help us to drink deeply from Your Word, Lord. Your Word is pure. Man cannot live on bread only. We need Your Word. So sustain us and feed us and help us to grow, we pray. Without Your Word, Lord, without this desire for Your Word, without the right attitude and appetite, we cannot grow. And yet we, if we have tasted that You're good, we will do these things. May this be true of each of us this morning. We may long for the pure spiritual milk, and we may be hungry. And that You would satisfy us, we pray. Thank You for gathering us together as Your people. Bless us, we pray, as we take Your Word and ponder it in our minds and hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Let's close by singing hymn.